Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Monday, April 25th, 2022. I am Dave Biddle. I'm very happy to be joined by Steve Hellwagon. Nice day to be doing the show outside, Steve. finally, we've had some nice weather here in Columbus, the greater Columbus area. A lot to get into on today's show. It's, as usual on Mondays, we have all weekend and stuff even breaks after we do the show Friday. And then you have all day Saturday and Sunday. So always plenty of Buckeye stuff to get into on Monday shows. Let's start with Noah Potter. The latest Buckeye that has entered his name in the transfer portal would have been a fourth-year junior defensive end this year for the Buckeyes. Played pretty well in the spring game, I thought. Your thought, are you surprised? Are you surprised by that? They're now one over the 85 limit. Lots to unpack here. Your thoughts on Noah Potter entering his name in the portal, are you surprised? And how do you think that affects depth at defensive end for the Buckeyes?
Yeah, I'm somewhat surprised by that because he worked so hard to get back. He missed last season because of the eye situation, health situation with his eye. And Pat Murphy wrote a really good story about that on Bucknuts when he was available to the media last month. And I just am very surprised by this. I would have figured he would have been right there in the two deep. But the issue is, I think he looks at it that Larry Johnson must be committed to playing Javonte Jean-Baptiste and Zach Harrison. And you can't deny what JT Tuimoloau and Jack Sawyer have done. I had thought maybe he'd take some snaps inside at defensive tackle because I don't consider them to be deep, deep, deep at defensive tackle. I figured he could have been a swing guy and maybe played some of both. I am very surprised by this, and I don't know what – he had a very good spring game, and I think that he's probably thinking somebody out there will pop that tape in. He'll suggest take a look at the Ohio State spring game and see what I did, and he'll have no shortage of high major teams that want him to come in and play right away. I just don't know – how much of a better situation he's going to find himself in, certainly in terms of a competitive team that's going to compete for a championship and maybe even for reps. I don't know. I guess I'm just confused by it. Maybe he just saw the handwriting on the wall that he was no better than the number five defensive end and the number four or five defensive tackle, and that wasn't good enough for him. And he wanted to go somewhere where he could play closer to, half the snaps in a game or whatever, or even more. And I'm not sure he's an every down player anywhere right now, coming back off of an injury season. So I am completely floored by that. I figured he would stick this out. And certainly next year, there is no Zach Harrison. There is no Javonte Jean-Baptiste, you wouldn't think. I mean, I guess they could come back as super seniors. That he'd be certainly the number three defensive end, I would think. I mean, I don't know. I'm confused by it, Dave. But everybody has their goals in life and what they want to accomplish. Maybe you've got a better take on it than I do. I don't know.
I do wonder, because I think you hit on, I think this year he would have been probably like the number five defensive end. So not even technically on the two deep. Now we know they can bracket guys and say, you know, on the two deep, Javonte Jean-Baptiste or Noah Potter, maybe they would have done that. Those guys would have been fighting for that fourth and fifth spot. They would have had Tyler Friday in there. I'm sure you would agree the top three in whatever order We're talking about Tui Moloau, Sawyer, and Zach Harrison. Those are your top three. And you've got Javonte Jean-Baptiste. You got Tyler Friday. You had Noah Potter. So those would have been like, you know, the next three guys probably. But I think Caden Curry's a guy that we need to talk about more. I know he's a true freshman, but I thought he looked good in the spring. Not just a spring game, but even you and I were out there at that awesome student appreciation practice. And we're like,
he played well that day.
The offense. And number 92 was out there flying around a lot and looking good at defensive end. So I wonder if Caden Curry, if he hadn't passed Noah Potter, was like on the verge of doing so. And they got a couple of guys coming in. It's going to be tough to play as true freshmen if you didn't enroll early. But Kenyatta Jackson, Amari Abor ranked pretty high. I don't think it really hurts the depth very much. I like the depth at defensive end. I really do.
Yeah, I agree. I think they're going to be okay, provided they don't have a couple of bad injuries there. I want to see, you know, what Tyler Friday does coming back off an injury season. Right. I think at times he's played some good football. But I agree. Tui Moloau and Sawyer are guys that look like they were shot out of a cannon. And I go back to the first Bosa. I think his name was Joey Bosa. His big year was his second year in 2014. He was an All-American, unquestioned, driving force on a national championship team. And if they can get Tui Moloau or Sawyer to play anything close to how Joey Bosa played in his second season at Ohio State, then they're on to something big, because that type of guy changes everything on defense. They have to account for him. And as we saw, he was virtually unblockable at times. He was similar to Aiden Hutchinson last year for Michigan at times, just unblockable. So had that. I know that that's a fresh wound for everybody. But
why?
Hey, speaking of that, Thursday night, that brings back the J.J. Watt remembrances from his draft day, where they kept showing he beats Brewster up the middle, Shugart's around the end, and who was the other one? Adams around the other end. They just kept showing it over and over and over. Get ready Thursday night, because it's coming. God. It's coming.
Oh, it's coming. Oh, yeah.
It's coming.
Jabo,
he's going around DeJuan Jones like he's standing still. It's coming.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be the Ohio State highlight film and the snow there in Ann Arbor. you're right. It'll be the Ohio State highlight film. Low light, we should say.
Be ready.
So, yeah, here's one thing I find interesting. I'll get your thoughts on this. So, like, all four players that have entered their name in the transfer portal recently from Ohio State, defensive guys, Bryson Shaw is going to USC. Bryson Shaw going all the way out to USC, a Baltimore kid, going all the way out with Lincoln Riley, reuniting with the great Alex Grinch out there.
Alex Grinch loves him some Bryson Shaw. He pounded the table for him to get an offer at Ohio State that one year with Alex Grinch. Bryson Shaw, I mean, he's lived off some Alex Grinch. That's pretty good.
Going to South Central LA there, USC. So Bryson Shaw, Legend Cavazos, Jacoby Cowan, and now Noah Potter, all four on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, coincidence? What do you make of that?
I think what it tells me is they saw the handwriting on the wall. And the frontline guys on this defense are going to play and play quite a bit. And I don't think any of them were in that group. And I think the defense has improved. And I think that they just weren't willing to stick it out any further at Ohio State. Cowan, to me, seemed like he was in and out of the practice lineup with injuries. Looked like he was always on the side with injuries or something. I wish him good luck and good health. Cavazos, you know, our one big memory of him was they put him in against Minnesota and he got toasted there I was standing on the Ohio State sideline. He got toasted in that far deep corner for a touchdown and never really played after that. So special teams, I guess, but so he didn't make his mark at Ohio State, maybe like he had hoped, which is unfortunate because he had a lot of promise. And I just think that the handwriting's on the wall. Who's going to play on defense? And they're solid. And again, it seems like, and you know, we can't crown them until we get into midseason and see how they're doing. But looks to me like it's going to be a better defense for Ohio State this year.
Well, if you want to go ahead and crown them, then crown them.
Crown them.
We know, but they are who we thought they were. We wish all those guys well.
No doubt.
Good kids. I mean, all
great people.
Kids, like, good kids. I even had interactions with Jacoby Cowan's family on social media. I'd never met them, but like just from stuff we did, and he was a really good kid. And you know, you hate to see it, but it's part of the business. They were six over going into spring. Harry Miller retired. That got them to 90, and now we've had the four kids that have entered their name in the portal. All good kids, and we wish them all well. All right, let's get to this. Steve, what is your biggest concern, you know, as you look at the 2022 Buckeyes? Is it the offensive line? Is it the defense overall? Because, you know, even though I'm bullish on the defense, they still need to prove it. 59th in the country last year in total defense, and they need to get much better. And they didn't play many good offenses last year, and they were still 59th. I mean, that was it's almost misleading that they were that high. They were just terrible on defense last year, as we all know, and the year before that. I think they're going to be good on defense this year, but they'll have to prove it first. I am a little concerned about the offensive line, mostly the depth. What's your biggest concern as you look at this 2022 roster?
Well, we were at the spring game. I agree. The defense, I'll just start there, gave up 23 points a game last year, which is almost unheard of. I don't know if that's a record in the wrong direction. There have been some really bad defenses at Ohio State at times, like 88, 89, you know, going back, you know, to the dark days there, but when they couldn't even get a first down. But they've got to trim that a full touchdown, in my opinion. They got to get that back down to like 15, 16 points a game, because that's championship level defense right there. If they do that and are consistent, then you could play for the national championship with that type of a defense. But as I said, we were at the spring game. We saw it with our own eyes, offensive line. Your left tackle's got to play better than that. There was a holding penalty and gave up a sack bigger than bleep there. Got to play better than that. And I know Paris Johnson's learning the position, picking it up, but got to play better than that. And so, you know, when you get into the games and the real bullets are flying and it's not a vanilla defense and they're doing different things and bringing stunts and bringing twists and bringing blitzes and everything else, offensive line's got to play better than that. So the new assistant, Fry, he's got his hands full this offseason, teaching at this point in the film room on, you know, visualization, essentially, on how to pass protect. To me, that's the number one thing, I would think. Well, other than the defense. I mean, the defense is an unknown, but that offensive line, they set records last year on offense. They won't set records on offense this year if the offensive line doesn't play well. So you can't be turning guys loose and, you know, having holding penalties. A holding penalty is so devastating. Although what was funny is the two drives, I believe, where there were holding penalties in the spring game, they overcame that and scored touchdowns on both those drives. So that'll tell you, C.J. Stroud, he is like penalty proof. You had a holding penalty, second 17, no problem. We
Jackson
got this.
Smith and Jigbo, we got Marvin Harrison Jr., we got a Mecca.
No problem.
Pick your poison, gents.
Ryan Day's got to be like, okay, now it's second and 20. Let's turn them loose, you know.
It's like last year it was third and one, I'd be nervous. If it was like second and 20, I'm like, it's second and 20, Jackson Smith and Jigbo for 23 yards and a touchdown.
You're more concerned when it's third and three than you are when it's second and 17. That's funny. I mean,
the offensive line wasn't that great last year either, and they were the number one offense. So we'll see. I think they're going to – I'm going to get to this question real quick. We're not going to take too many questions on today's show because we got a packed – we always got to take a couple questions from our loyal viewers and listeners. Tyson wants to know, we are still over the limit. Yes, one over the limit now. This will easily take care of itself. He wants to know, do you see linebacker as the next source for future transfers out of this program? You think the next person's going to be – I think it might be an offensive lineman, maybe one of these backup offensive linemen that they don't like, maybe a kicker, maybe a linebacker. What do you think, Steve?
Yeah, to your point, back on the transfers, two of them were in the secondary where there are new assistant coaches. So I think it is, it makes sense that there could be an offensive lineman with the new offensive line coach coming in and having that heart-to-heart conversation with people he's inherited, maybe one of these offensive linemen, and saying, look, you're not in the plans. Just isn't going to work out for you here. Coach Stud recruited you, and certainly, you know, it just didn't work out for you here at Ohio State. And I think that the next several days, it's April 25th, I could be wrong, but, you know, what we know about these NCAA rules, you could put in a thimble, because it just seems like they tell you that if a guy wants to play in the fall, he's got to put his name into the portal by May 1st. And I think that's done to give his current school proper time to replace him one way or the other. But to me, there were guys who transferred last summer who still played. So maybe that was a one-time thing. Hell if I know, Dave, what the rules are. But if that is the real rule, that you have to transfer, you have to put your name in the portal by May 1st so that to give notice to your current school, then I would think maybe another guy will transfer by May 1st, because otherwise, to my knowledge, they wouldn't be eligible to play
right
immediately in the fall. Now, maybe then you apply for a hardship and say, you know, whatever. But it is the end of the semester. Exams are going on here in the next few days, and then the guys will have about a week or so off. They have a May semester where guys take classes. It's a four-week academic period in the month of May, not the typical summer semester. That doesn't begin until the first part of June, and that's the big program. But they will work out and take a few classes in May, then have a couple days off and start in with the intensive summer program probably about the 5th or 6th of June this year. So that's the timeline right now. I do. And why would you go through that if you know you're not going to play? You know what I mean? Why would you subject yourself to that
right
at Ohio State where there's no future for you? So I think they'll maybe by May 1st, we'll have at least one more, I would think.
And you know the academic schedule at Ohio State, well, having two kids that are students at Ohio State right now.
Well, they graduated.
Oh, congratulations.
Yes.
Oh, now they always say congratulations.
That's right.
Oh, gosh. The years are just flying by. Your twins are graduates of Ohio State.
Yeah, Goodness gracious.
We're not young. Now, there's a question I want to get to. The answer is, let's see here. The question is from Prickly Pear. Prickly Pear from YouTube. I know Harry Miller medically retired. However, does anyone factually know if his scholarship counts as part of the max limit? It does not count. It does not count. When a player medically retires, they're able to stay on academic scholarship, but it does not count against the 85. So they were 91 at the time. Harry retired. That brought him down to 90. Now they've had the four kids that recently, somewhat recently, have left the program. I'm not counting Seven Banks. He's another one. He's at LSU. What a weird story there. And no, somebody asked, has Noah Ruggles moved on? No. We've speculated that's a weird situation. But there's also talk maybe they're looking at the USC transfer kicker, not as a replacement for Ruggles, but maybe as a replacement for Seibert. So we'll see what happens there with kicker drama. They're definitely not going to have three kickers on scholarship. So if they bring in the USC kid, then – one of the current scholarship kickers will be moving on. Hopefully Ruggles stays for one more year. Then the USC kid has three more years. He can be like the kickoff guy, long field goal guy. Ruggles can be automatic from, you know, 49 and in. All right. As promised, let's get to some basketball questions. Not basketball questions, but basketball topics. It was a very busy weekend, Steve, for Ohio State's basketball team. I'm curious to get your thoughts on this. They landed the shooting guard transfer from West Virginia, Sean McNeil. He actually began his career at Sinclair Community College in Dayton, averaged like 30 points a game, was the leading scorer in the nation for junior college kids. And that was when he was just a true freshman. Then he played the last 3 years at West Virginia, has one more year left due to the COVID year, and he's going to play it at Ohio State, averaged 12.2 points per game in each of the last two seasons for the Mountaineers. And then also, this surprised me, Seth Towns returning for a 19th year in college. Okay, it's a seventh year. Why not, man? Even if you're a Harvard graduate, why not, right? I mean, it's the best years of your life. You know, it reminds me, it doesn't apply to Seth Towns, but I remember when I was a little kid going to Ohio State football games, I'd see the T-shirts. So I thought they were hilarious. Ohio State, the best 7 or 8 years of my life.
Yeah.
Seth Towns, that was, you know, joking people that would take him that long to get their, you know, bachelor's degree. Seth Towns, a Harvard grad, also now a master's graduate from Ohio State. I'm surprised he's coming back. I thought he'd move on with life and go be, you know, eventually a CEO or something. But your thoughts on Sean McNeil becoming a Buckeye? How much can he help? And Seth Towns returning, does that surprise you? And how much can he help this year?
Sean McNeil is a good pickup for Ohio State. He was – West Virginia had a very good team 2 years ago. They were awful this past year. They kind of fell off the road. Oscar Tshiebwe was with them 2 years ago, and then he went to Kentucky this past year and was a All-American at Kentucky. And without him, they weren't very good, obviously. But he was a guy – I want to say they were a three seed in the NCAA tournament, and he averaged 12 points a game that previous year. And he is not a guy who's going to be the top scorer on your team, but he is a guy that if you have two other players who can kind of lead that realm, that he can be a great support player. And he provides depth, obviously. His acquisition and Seth Towns coming back are both rooted in Michi Johnson leaving. And Michi Johnson leaving left a gaping hole in their depth at guard, and they needed a guard. So they kicked the tires on Nigel Pack, who took the money and went to Miami.
Yes, he did.
Several other guys. And I'm interested to get Chris Holtman's take on that. That's public. That's been put into the public realm that somebody's
bidding wars, man. Bidding war. And listen, I mean, I know for a fact there were other programs going after Tanner Holden hard, and Ohio State's NIL Foundation, the foundation, literally, they helped a lot with that situation. So
yeah,
Ohio State lost out on a bidding war this time, but they won the bidding war with Tanner Holden. So,
and that's an important one, no doubt. Towns, to me, I think is getting Michi scholarship. I don't think Towns comes back if Michi is still there.
Okay.
And because there's just no room for him. There is one scholarship remaining, and they have to go out and get a power forward. I don't think there's any doubt about this. They kicked the tires on Vanderplas, the kid from Ben Vanderplas from Ohio University. He looked at Wisconsin, Virginia, Ohio State, and I guess he's going to Virginia. It came out yesterday. So that's a tough one because he averaged like 14 and 8 last year at OU and could shoot threes. He's exactly the kind of four that Chris Holtman wants. That's too bad. But they're going to go deep into that portal and find a forward, I have no doubt, with that last spot. And if Towns gives them anything close to what he gave them the year before when, you know, he was healthy and then he was in and out and whatever, but in some big games, like he won a Big Ten tournament game almost single-handedly. I forget which one, Michigan maybe, or Purdue, take your pick, one or the other. He won the game himself almost single-handedly. And people go on our board and poo-poo him and whatever. But when he's available, he's effective. Can't deny that, people. I know he's only available about 10% of the time, but when he's available, he's effective. Don't at me on that.
Just that minor detail.
Yeah, that one minor detail. My 10% was a bad shot. He played about half the games or maybe a little bit more than that year. And his minutes obviously can't play more than 15 minutes a game. But if he plays a good 15 minutes a game, that's all you freaking need.
I'll take that.
Yes, whatever.
I'll take that for sure. Yeah.
Whatever.
He's got a very natural shooting stroke. He's a good shooter. There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, and real quick, I agree. Yeah, Geodit 42 wants to know, like, he thinks getting Justice Suing back is bigger maybe than fans realize. Yeah, I mean, I think most diehard Ohio State basketball fans realize that's
same thing.
Back, but it's definitely good getting Justice Suing back for a sixth year. Yes.
Got to be healthy, and if he could play 20, 25 minutes a game at the level that he plays, then he moves the needle. There's no doubt. You've got to guard him, and that creates openings for other people. So, and he's a very good player, in my opinion, because when he wants to, he'll go in and rebound out of his area. And it's just he's so laid back. You know, I mean, he's a West Coast kid, and you could just tell he's just kind of laid back. But when he gets that dog in him and says, hey, I'm going to compete tonight, you're hard to find a better player than him some games. I mean, when he puts his mind to it and wants to compete, he can almost take over a game sometimes. So that's good to see as well.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And yeah, a lot of people are curious about Noah Ruggles. So, you know, maybe Noah is going to come back. Hopefully, maybe that's kind of the latest, you know, vibe that I'm hearing is maybe Ruggles will come back and the USC transfer might be a replacement for somebody else and insurance in the future, because the USC transfer would have 3 years left of eligibility and would still have a role on this year's team even if Ruggles came back, because again, he could be the field goal kick or the long field goal kicker and the kickoff specialist, because Ruggles doesn't have a weak leg. We're not acting like he's Jim Breach, like he can only make him from 35 yards. But, you know, he can't really kick him past 50, at least not, you know, no struggles Ruggles, where he's pretty much automatic, only missed one field goal last year. So, hey, great stuff from Steve Hellwagon. Really appreciate it, Steve, for your knowledge. And love all of our listeners and viewers for tuning in. We appreciate you guys with your comments and just for being part of the show and tuning in and watching. Really appreciate you guys. If you like the show, like, subscribe, give us a 5-star review, depending on what platform you are watching or listening on. Again, thanks to all of you for tuning in. Thanks to Steve Hellwagon. Hope everyone has a great day.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.